Great reading. Great job. Well, at this time, we actually have a trio here to sing. They're going to sing two songs. They're from Gentle Shepherd Community Church in Eugenia. And they are here. The four of them, plus Loretta, is going to be playing piano. So we have Judy McNeil, Georgina Simons, and my wonderful mother-in-law, Wilda Allen. And they're going to be coming and blessing us with some music at this time. So welcome. Let's give them a hand. Let's welcome them. Well, wasn't that wonderful? Wonderful way to start the service off. Absolutely. I usually get reeled into extra things that the trio has done over the past few years. So now it was nice to have my turn to be able to pull them into, you know, a service. So anyway, it was great to have you here this morning. Thank you. Well, we are on a series, like I'd mentioned, called God With Us. And we're talking about what it means that God became flesh. That God is among us, and we're going to be covering a lot of scripture today. So if you want to take notes, there's a section in the back of your bulletin to be able to take notes. I will have a lot of the scriptures on our PowerPoint this morning, but if you also want to follow along with your Bible, you can. You gotta work quick. I'm going to work your fingers this morning. But I want to start out by reading our main scripture from Matthew's gospel, which is Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that says this: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Absolutely. Before we go any further, let's bow with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you that we can come together as the body of Christ and have unity to be able to sing songs, to be able to worship you, to be able to celebrate all that you've done, Lord, through Jesus and through your church. Lord, we thank you that we have the freedom to come here this morning and lift your name high. We worship you. We celebrate you. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give us. Lord, the peace that you give in our lives. But Lord, we also celebrate with joy, with thankfulness, thankful hearts this morning. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this service. I pray that the words of my mouth through this message would be your words and that they might speak to everyone here. We welcome you this morning, Lord. We open our hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to be starting off reading from Luke chapter 2. And I'm actually not going to read the full scripture that's up there this morning. We're going to start with verse 46 to 49. So just a few verses, and then we're going to jump over to the next chapter. So verses, I don't have this on PowerPoint, so I'll read three verses, and then we'll jump on to, wait a minute, I do have it. That is it. Good. It says this: and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And then we'll go on to chapter 2, starting from verse 8. Right in the next chapter, and this is what we've been singing all about this morning, the shepherds and the angels, and it says this: and there were shepherds living out of their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all the things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord this morning. Well, last week we were talking about peace, and peace is a good thing. We want peace in our lives, right? I want peace in my family and in my household, and I want my children to have peace in their hearts. But one thing, I don't just want it to stop there. One thing that I want on top of peace is not just have to be peaceful, but I want to see joyfulness in them. Because joy is almost something that's rooted in peace. So it's amazing that we can talk about being joyful after last week talking about peace. Now, what do you think of when you think of the word joy? What comes to mind when you think of the word joy? A number of things might come to mind. Just real quick, what comes to mind? Just yell it out if you have something. Happy? Content? Laughter? Hope? Energy? That's right. That's a good one. Anything else? Peace in your heart, yes. Being full, absolutely. Absolutely. That is being joyful. That's something we do at Christmas, right? That's one of my favorite ones. Oh, yeah. Yes. Motivation, drive. Absolutely. That's fantastic. Yep. Well, I wrote down a few things as well. Maybe it's something like a newborn baby. Do we find joyfulness in a newborn baby? What about a testimony? An amazing testimony of what the Lord has done. Maybe it's good news. Maybe it's something free. I don't know. A free gift. I think of probably one of my son's favorites is winning the big game. I think of the Raptors a couple years and how big that was. Jumping up and down, right? We've also often heard the term laughter is the best medicine, right? We think of that. We pertain that to joy or joyfulness. Now, the world will try to tell us many things what they think that joy is. Can I give you a few examples? I'll just give you a few examples. BMW, in their ads, tells us that they don't just make cars, but in fact, they make joy. You know that? Oh, really? So you might say, if I have a BMW, then you will know joy. Now, I don't own a BMW. If you do, maybe I won't look at it anyway. But not many of us do, right? So does that mean we don't have joy if we don't have a BMW? In 2020, last year, the Walmart ad marketing campaign was, "Joy begins here." Isn't that really? So joy begins while entering a Walmart store. Anyone here who doesn't go to Walmart? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. But may I say, talk about capitalizing on a biblical word. Joy is a biblical word. Now, contrary to such consumerism, the scriptures instruct us that joy begins and ends with Jesus. And that's what we just read about. There is so much joy around Jesus being born. The biblical word for joy, it actually means extremely joyful, filled with delight, gladness, to rejoice exceedingly, jubilant exaltation. I love that. Now, a pastor friend of mine, he defines joy as this: the steady contentment and peace that comes from resting in all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ. That's good as well. And he also says joy is internal godly contentment and peace, the result of a preoccupation with truth, the truth of God's word. Isn't that good? Now, the Bible tells us from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if that's the case, then we need to learn to live in the joy of the Lord. That's not just something about that we think about. It's something that we do. And there's something about rejoicing in God that renews us and gives us strength inside of us. And it's not what God gives us, but simply for who God is. We learn to delight ourselves in Him and not what He decides to give us. It's about discovering real joy. Joy is knowing the Father, that the Father is pleased with you in Jesus. He delights in us. So if you are in the Father, He is pleased with you. He delights in you. We are the children of God. He is our Father. He delights in us. I understand this as a father. I delight in my children. Best part of my day is sitting with them in the morning or on the couch with them or at night, saying goodnight to them. Sometimes it takes a while, but it's wonderful. I wouldn't trade it for anything. No amounts of trying to earn salvation through our own goodness will do either. We can't earn our salvation. And many miss the joy of following God, following the grace of God, when they're just living like this, when they're too busy thinking that they need to earn the pleasure through their own efforts, because it's a free gift. It's not a joyous religion. It's a joyful one. Serving the Lord is a joyful expression of our hearts. Amen? Now, last week I said this about peace, and I believe it pertains to Christian joy as well. So I'm going to repeat a few things from last week, but I want you to hear it again, but this word in this week in the terms pertaining to joy. Joy is, in fact, one of the fruit of the Spirit, and as we implement the fruit of joy into our lives, we know that incredible things will grow. Joy will be produced. It's not a weakness. It's a strength in our lives. This past summer, I even spoke a message about it being a Christian secret weapon. Joy is our secret weapon. Why? Because God is always with us everywhere we go. That's awesome. Joy, God's joy is profound, and I'm sure many of us have lived our lives, a lot of our lives, without it, not living in it. But in the days that we're living, it's one of the most precious commodities on the face of this earth. Amen? Amen. Now, last week I said that God always uses peace, and this week I want to say God lives and moves in our joy. If you have it, the devil will try to steal it from you. And if you don't have it, the devil will try to keep it from you. The joy of God gives us an abiding internal joy. Now, the joy of the world is fragile, it's elusive, and if you will, it's circumstantial joy that is hard to get and it's easy to lose. Joy will never come just by default. Joy never comes just by default. There's only one way the human spirit will ever know joy, and that's to recognize that there's a greater authority than our wants, than our ambitions, and our desires. Because true joy, it's not found outside of the human heart. Instead, it's found inside through a relationship with our Almighty God, our Creator. Joy is not a state of mind or a circumstance in nature. Instead, again, it's a condition of the heart. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and again, it's a gift from Almighty God. This is the season for gifts, right? God gives us the gift of joy. Now, real joy consists not in the absence of danger, but instead in the presence of Almighty God. I had a phone call this week from a friend who had a massive disappointment in his life. And you know what? 2 years ago, he called me with the same disappointment. He's been working for years, going to school, working, trying to get the job that he desires, what he feels is a job of a lifetime. He got turned down 2 years ago. And for the past 2 years, he's been working with everything inside of him to be able to get this new job again. He's married. He has 3 children. Needs to provide for his family. And he got denied again. But they told him, you need to keep on going. He has to wait a year before he can reapply. And he called me, disappointed. But the reason he called me is because he remembered calling me 2 years ago. And I remember him calling. I don't remember the conversation or what I had said to him. But you know what he said? He said, I remember telling you that he didn't get the job. And what I said to him was, it's time to raise a hallelujah, brother. Now, does anyone know the song from Bethel Church, Raise a Hallelujah? You might have heard of it. And I want to read a couple of the verses because I think it's so important. No matter what our circumstances are, and I'm going to be talking more about this, but I love this. It says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. You guys know it? I raise a hallelujah. Anyway, fantastic, fantastic words. It takes down every situation louder than the unbelief around or maybe even in your own head. It's about choosing to be joyful even in the midst of trouble. Because they know that joy is a weapon. It's a melody with a weapon. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Hallelujah. Why? Because death is defeated and the King is alive. God is with us everywhere we go and in every situation, every up and every down, on every mountaintop and in every valley. On a busy street corner, or even in the desert, God is with us. Now, I had this in my sermon about the power of joy this summer. I want to read it again. It says, where is joy? Not in unbelief. Voltaire was a God-hating atheist, and he wrote, I wish I had never been born. Not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. And when dying, he said, I suppose that I am the most miserable man on earth. Not in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. And he wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. Not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, there are no more worlds to conquer. So where then is joy found? The simple answer, in Christ alone. In Christ alone, our joy is found. Now, I believe that everyone longs for happiness, but very few people possess it. The pursuit of happiness is a universal thing, and it's timeless. For most people, happiness is elusive. And to make it more, even more elusive, many Christians have been told that holiness and happiness just don't go together. Now, I know we hear in church emphasis played on sometimes about Jesus being a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. However, that's not the whole story. Holiness and happiness go together. And we're going to learn more about that this morning. The same Bible that says Jesus suffered also says he was anointed with the oil of gladness above everyone else, so that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You might have seen the bumper. Last week I talked about the bumper sticker, no Jesus, no peace. And then turns around and says, no Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace. Well, this morning I want to say no joy, no strength. But if you know joy, K-N-O-W joy, you will know strength. I believe that this is one of the reasons we have a lot of weak Christians in the body of Christ. If the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your faith. So stay in joy. And you will stay strong in your faith. Once you let down that joy, whenever that happens in someone's life, I get worried for them because I know the next thing, their faith is the next thing to go. So we stay strong in our joy no matter what things look like. God is faithful. We can put our trust in Him. So is true happiness obtainable? And if so, how do we get it? First, let me say that there's many scriptures that command us to rejoice and be glad. All through scripture, there's a number of them. Now, I just want to read a few amazing scriptures. They're all from the Psalms. Psalm 32:11 says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. 40:16 says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. 68:3, but may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. What does it call us to do? Be happy and be joyful. Psalm 70:4 says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. Now, the people of Israel were punished because they didn't serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, especially out of the abundance of all that the Lord had done for them. So if joy was a command and people were punished for not, this is in the Old Testament, for not rejoicing, then happiness is something that we are a part of or even that we can control in our lives. Otherwise, the Lord would be unjust in commanding us to do it. You can't always control what goes on outside, but you can control what goes on inside, especially when we're faced with resistance. And when you understand that, you will discover one of the greatest keys to happiness. And you'll be on the road for eliminating grief in your life. Now, some scriptures specifically command rejoicing in the midst of trouble. Again, Psalm 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, or in other words, rejoice. Why? I have overcome the world. Isn't that awesome? So take heart, rejoice. It goes against our thoughts and our feelings most of the time. I dare you to rejoice when you least feel like it. Now, as we read through the birth narratives of Jesus in Matthew and in Luke, you quickly notice that there's joy all over the place. It literally, if you will, it leaps off the page. The coming of Jesus jump-started a lot of joy. And we just want to go through a couple stories real quickly. So Zechariah, regarding the birth of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, it says this, he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And John, from the womb of his mother, Luke 1, 39 to 45. This is the part that I didn't read this morning in the scripture, but I want to read it now. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary's joy, we already read this, Luke chapter 1, 46 to 49. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Elizabeth, this was the one that we skipped this morning. Luke 1, 57 to 58 says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. The shepherds, Luke 2 and 20, we read this as well, but their joy, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And the last one is the Magi in Matthew 2, verses 10 and 11. And note that their worship followed their joy. And this is all over the Bible as well. If I were to preach a message on worship at Christmas time, I could pull lots of scriptures, and this would be one of them. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that is part of the reason we give gifts at Christmas time. To celebrate God and celebrate each other. Now, there's so much joy in these passages. So what's going on here? Why does so much joy flow through and from Jesus? It's because we need to know what joy really is and where it comes from and how we can walk in it. Look long enough and you'll discover that joy, in fact, flows out of God himself and what God was up to in Jesus. Now, I have four facets that I want to just touch on briefly, but it will help us. And the first one is joy is a quality, not a feeling. Now, I've already talked about this a lot this morning, but joy is a quality, not a feeling. And that is why James verses 1 and chapter 1, verse 2 can be a reality. It says, consider it pure joy. This is such a different scripture to me. It kind of, I want to say at first when you read it, it almost hits me the wrong way. But he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Have you ever been through a time where you're like, Lord, give me perseverance? And then when you're in the middle of perseverance, you're like, let this thing pass, right? But we can consider it pure joy. It seems to me that the joy of the Lord is a quality and not a feeling that comes and goes with our circumstances. Joy is, I've said this before, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Like love, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, the fruit of joy is more than just a mere emotion because it flows from the nature of God. It comes up in our spirits because we are spirit beings. And because of it, we have this. We have the fruit of the Spirit because we walk with the Holy Spirit. So that means we have joy. So even when you least know it or feel like it, you can have joy. But we're not talking about the feeling of joy. We're talking about the quality of joy. And it lives in our worship. It lives in our giving, both financially to the church and to others. Not just through money, but through gifts, through practical things. At Christmas, when we give gifts to each other. It's not giving to get. It's giving to give. Giving to bless. Out of joy. It is also something you can possess even in hard times, like we've said, in trials. I've been amazed as a pastor how many funerals I've been to where there's such hardship and pain in the midst of the situation. But regardless of that hardship and pain, people show up. Even family, closest family, show up with joy. Truly celebrating that person's life. Even in the midst of deep loss. And I truly believe that Christians are the only ones that can truly rejoice at a funeral. Because we're filled with joy that God gives us. Another situation when you think of joy, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but we automatically think of Paul and Silas in jail. I just read that scripture, I think about 2 weeks ago, in my devotional time. And again, it blows me away that these guys were thrown in jail. They were chained. And what do? They worship the Lord at midnight. And an earthquake happens, and the chains fall off of them. I believe there's spiritual principles in that that we can take as well. But they are great examples of what we can do. Or if you think of Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the book of Philippians while he was in prison in Rome. Now, he had been in prison for 2 years in Israel, 1 year in transit to Rome, and an undisclosed amount of time in Rome. And he was facing possible execution. Yet his letter to the Philippians is the happiest letter of any that he wrote. He mentioned rejoicing 17 times in that chapter. And how could that be? What was Paul's secret? The book of Philippians gives us the keys that Paul obtained such success. And in Philippians 4:11, he says this, "I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." And Paul also said his affliction was light. He didn't say that because he didn't have problems. And you can read his list afflictions in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. And the list includes beatings with whips and rods. It includes prison, shipwreck, hunger, and thirst because of his mission work, and many, many more. I know that I have talked about a heavy load of stress or problems, but nothing compares to what Paul went through, and still, he considered it joy. Paul said all his afflictions were but for a moment. They were saying they were short-lived compared to eternity. And Paul put everything into perspective of eternity. And I know sometimes we don't like that because we're stuck here on this earth, right? But regardless how bad this life is, we have an eternal promise. And our troubles pale in comparison to eternity. Our future is bright. Your future is bright. Your future is so bright, you got to put your sunglasses on this morning. So have joy each day. Today, people think of happiness as a result instead of a choice. They believe that if they didn't have any problems, that it would be, if they had an abundance of good things, happiness would be the inevitable result. But that's not true. Happiness isn't a state of being, it's a state of mind. A person can be happy when everything around them is in turmoil. Now, thank the Lord, He is our Father, He is a good Father, He knows how to give good gifts to His children. And I believe in the prosperity of his people. God is for us. He wants to take care of us. He is good. But our joy isn't in things. It's in him alone. He is the source of our joy. And that takes us to number two. Joy is grounded in God himself. It's derived from him. I love Romans 15:13 that says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So God is the source of our joy, an ever-flowing well of joy. That's why whenever the word joy is used in the Bible, it's always connected to the saving work of God, his action to save us. Going on to number three, joy is both now and forevermore. It's in the present and the future. Joy has everything to do with the hope of our future in Christ. Have you ever noticed that joy of waiting, the joy of waiting for something? If you know you're going to get something, there's joy in the waiting. The joy of anticipation, of expecting something is coming. Do you know of any kids that are in that right now? Well, it's the same with Christ. We have hope of being with forever with him in heaven. But it's not just in heaven. We have a relationship with him now each and every day. It's joy now and it's for our future. Because God is with us each and every day. And that's why believers being martyred or tortured or imprisoned for their faith, all throughout history, they demonstrated joy in their suffering. Nothing, not even death, could take away their joy, their hope of eternal life. They had no fear of death because they already possessed life. Because eternal joy is in Jesus. And number four, joy is also communal. We rejoice as a community of faith because our past, our present, and our future have been established from the beginning by God Himself. Have you ever noticed that some things are just not enjoyable on our own? Meals are more enjoyable as a family or together with friends, or when you travel. Even watching a movie or playing a game. And so we are the church. We're traveling this side of heaven and to heaven itself together. That's our destination. Now, none of these facets of joy in these four things are dependent on our circumstances. Joy, the joy of God is contingent not on me or my circumstances or my possessions or my bank balance or how many presents are under the tree. No, joy is contingent on God and what He's done for us in Christ. And here's another definition from a pastor friend of mine. And I brought this up because Pastor Adam Nickel from General Shepherd, since you guys are here this morning. But he says, joy is possessing nothing, yet possessing everything. I've worshipped with people in third world countries, in India and in Honduras, that had nothing, but they had everything through Christ. Pastor Adam, I remember him talking always about when he was on a mission trip to Mexico, and he worshipped with people in their chapel, and their chapel, where they lived, was in the middle of a garbage dump. They lived on it. Literally, their homes were in a garbage dump. That's where they got their food. They had almost nothing in terms of worldly possessions or wealth, and yet in Christ, they possess everything because joy sustains and radiates through them. Again, possessing nothing, yet having everything. So I ask you, are you living in joy? Joy with Jesus. Not just through the holidays, but every day of the year. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9 says this, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I absolutely love the scene in The Christmas Carol. You guys remember The Christmas Carol, where Scrooge wakes up from visiting the spirits of Christmas future when he's a changed man? I wanted to show you a clip, but I had a hard time finding one this morning. He discovers the joy of repentance, the joy of another chance, the joy of recreation, the joy of selflessness, the joy of losing your life only to discover you have really found life, the joy of realizing that he doesn't have to waste his life any longer, that he can make a difference, that he has been given a chance to help others, to serve others, to actually change some lives. Finally, he's occupied around the other needs of others rather than the preoccupation of himself. He's also been freed from the love of money. He's converted. He's a new man. He's born all over again. I love that scene in the movie. Charles Dickens didn't say it like that necessarily, but I will. Jesus Christ does this in a person, in each one of us as well. He is the giver of true joy. Amen? So in closing, let me say this. When our joy is based on the wrappings of Christmas, we're left empty. Unless it's with a spirit of joyfulness. But when our joy is based on the person of Christ, our joy remains and our joy is full. Jesus taught us in John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Oh man, that is powerful. So let's keep it simple. Let's live in the joy of Jesus. And just like the shepherds, when the angels appeared to them, they journeyed to see Jesus. Let our hearts have the same anticipation of Christ, of Jesus, this Christmas. That he has paid the price for us, that he lives with us, and that God is with us, that he is our joy. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we just take this time and pause and ask each one of us, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? Lord, I pray that you would show us ways to implement joy each and every day. And not just that we would be happy, but that it would overflow to everyone that we're around. Lord, in every situation where we want to lose it or miss our peace or our joy, I pray that we will not miss it. Instead, that we will look to you to fill us with peace and with joy. And that we might portray joy and peace to the people around us, Lord. When we're at the grocery store, when we're at work with others, when we're around people that we don't want to be around. Lord, in our every family setting this Christmas season, may we be filled with your joy, that we might know you, Jesus, the hope of our salvation, the peace of our salvation, and the joy of our salvation, Lord. We lift our voice to you and we rejoice because you are faithful. And we say, we love you this morning. Thank you for coming to the earth as a baby, for dying on the cross for our sins. And if there's anyone who here who has not accepted Jesus into their hearts, I just want to encourage you to do that this morning. Joy, true joy, only comes from Jesus. If you want to know joy, just invite him into your heart. And it's simply saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior this morning. I rededicate my life to you. I choose to follow you because you have a life worth living. We welcome you this Christmas season, Lord. God with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite the worship team.